Part of our discussion of Hilchos Tefillah, we would like to study the Tefillah of Aleinu L'Shabeach. And this Tefillah is an ancient one, at least according to one tradition. You'll find this in the Kolbo, in the Archas Chaim, in the Sefer Charedim. The author of this Tefillah was Yehoshua ben Nun. According to Sefer Charedim, Yehoshua authored this Tefillah at the time of the conquest of Jericho. But according to all those sources, it was at the time of Kibush Eretz Yisrael. Now, in this Shia today, we're going to discuss a number of different questions. Number one, why is the Tefillah of Aleinu Shabeach so important? I mean, above and beyond the fact that we say it three times as the closing Tefillah of our three Tefillos, we also find in Pirkei Derabbi Elazar that the Braisa defines and describes the Tefillah of Aleinu Shabeach as a Shevach Gadol, and therefore it should be recited standing. And the Kolbo adds that the gematria of the word Aleinu is Me'umad, and therefore it should be said standing. And not only that, but there's a Kabbalah that this Shevach of Aleinu Shabeach, which has a shtachava in it, and is to be recited bi'ema, bi'ira, bereses, u'bezeah, b'shipui harosh. And the reason for this fear and this trembling at the time of Aleinu, this serious attitude, which is unusual, very atypical, very unique, is because ki chol tzva ha'shamayim shomim, because when we down here on earth recite Aleinu l'shabeach, the celestial spheres and the angels on high listen carefully. Vakodesh Baruch Hu Omeid im Farmalia Shalamala, and Almighty God, together with His whole entourage, up in the heavens. Vekulam Onim V'Omrim, and they respond, Ashrei Ha'am Shekachalo. How great is the nation that prays such a beautiful song of Aleinu Shabeach, Ashrei Ha'am Shal Hashem Elokav. How fortunate is this wonderful people that have God as their God. And in that sense, Aleinu Shabeach takes on a new status that we don't find with regard to other tefillos. And the question is why? Why is it so important? But moving on to other questions that perhaps relate to this one, although they may not seem so at the surface, we'll try to create a relationship. We'd like to talk about Golus, the survival of the Jewish people over the past 2,000 years. And that's without a land, without a homeland of their own. How is it? What was the secret to our ability to survive as a nation? No other nation could survive without a homeland. And this really leads into my next question for today. What defines the people of Israel? What is their very essence? And finally, my last question for today is a phenomenon that we've seen over and over again throughout Jewish history. And that's the relationship between assimilation and anti-Semitism. And what I mean by that is the following. If you take, for example, Berlin in Germany before the war, before the Holocaust, we find that Jews were assimilated. And in many senses, in many ways, Jews were trying to be like the Goyim. They were trying to imitate them culturally, socially. They tried to integrate into the society, the fabric of a non-Jewish society. And yet, paradoxically, it didn't seem to help. On the contrary, it generated even more anti-Semitism. And truth be told, this phenomenon dates back to our early history, to Golus Mitzrayim. Chazal say that the people tried to be Mefir Bris Mila. They wanted to be like the Goyim, similar to them, blend in with them. And yet, as a result, it only engendered more and more intense anti-Semitism. So these are some of the questions that I'd like to address today. And I begin with the question of the essence of Klal Yisrael. How do we define the Jewish people? My hakir is the following. Are we a nation and a nationhood, a political entity? Or is our essence spiritual, existential? That's the nature of our people. The political facet is secondary. It doesn't define who we are. And here I would like to refer to a chidush, a question and answer that I heard from the Rav, Zichrono Livracha, in one of his shiurim many, many years ago before Pesach. He would very often give a public shiur and discuss the Haggadah. The particular shiur that I have in mind has been reprinted. You'll see it in the Haggadah of Yeshiva University on page 10, page 11. And the Rav's kasha, based on the Mishnah at the end of Psachim, the Mishnah in Arvei Psachim, which requires of us to recite the Arami Oved Ovi as part of the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzius Mitzrayim. This is perhaps the apex and certainly the fabric and the structure of the Haggadah Shel Pesach on Lel Pesach. And according to the Mishnah, V'doreish Asaparsha Kula, the Rambam codifies this in Hilchas Chametz U'Matzah. Our mitzvah of Haggadah is not fulfilled until we read and explain the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi, and we complete the parasha. The Rav's question is, if you look into our Haggadahs, in truth we do not complete the parasha of Arami Ovid Avi in its totality. There's at least a pasuk, and maybe more, that's completely omitted from our Haggadah. If you'll open up the Haggadah, you will see that the parasha in Kisavon Dvarim, Perek Chafvav, Psukim Tes and Yud, are really left out of our Haggadah. Vayevi'enu el hamakom hazeh, Vayitein lanu es ha'aretz hazos, Eretz zavas chalav udvash. As part of the Mikra Bikurim, the mitzvah of reciting the parsha of Mikra Bikurim Arami Ovid Avi, when one brings the first fruits, his first produce to the Beis HaMikdash, he thanks God for having brought the people of Israel and granted them the land, Eretz Zavas Chol Dvash. And the recitation continues, V'ata now, Hinei Hevesi Es Pri Ha'adama Asher Nasatoli. And behold, now I have brought the fruits of the land that you, Almighty God, have given to me as a gift. Now, it's certainly understandable that in the context of Haggadah Shel Pesach, we would leave out those last few words, V'atine Vesi is Pri Adama. That in no way is accurate or reflects our experience at the Leil HaSeder. We're not bringing Bikurim, we're not taking the Pri Adama to the Beis HaMikdash. But the Rav is bothered. Why is the Pasuk that declares that God, you have brought us, you have granted us entry into Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel, etc., why is that omitted? And the Rav suggests that there are four lashonos of Geula. For example, Akachti Oschem Li La'am, you have taken me for a people. But if we were to bring in our Haggadah this particular pasuk at the culmination of Arami Ovid Avi, then we should add a fifth lashon of Geula, and that is Ve'vesi, God promises that He will bring us to the land. And therefore the Rav raises the question, why is it that this fifth lashon of Geula Ve'vesi is omitted from the list? We only have four cups of wine. Maybe the fifth cup is a remez, alludes to Ve'vesi, but that's not Nikar Adin. So Ve'vesi would have to be included if it's a reference to the Geula, and we have four, now we have five Lashonis, this would be the fifth Lashon of Geula. Apparently Chazal felt that this last Lashon of Geula, Ve'vesi, is not part and parcel, it's not integral to the mitzvah of Igadat Olabincha, of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. And why is that so? And I remember the Rav dropped a bomb here. He said that you have to differentiate between two words in English, and those are destination and destiny. Destination refers to a location, but destiny refers to the essence of the people, their existential goal and purpose. And although the Jewish people did eventually enter into Eretz Yisrael, but that wasn't part of their destiny within the framework of Geulas Mitzrayim. The goal of Yetzias Mitzrayim was not Eretz Yisrael, but rather the creation of a nation. The transformation of a subjugated people, a people of slaves, into a goy, into a mamleches kohanim v'goy kadosh, a sacred people, kedusha. And the Rav said that the creation of this goy, of this unique people, is kedusha, is essentially a sacred people, not a political entity. We're not talking about freedom as it expresses itself in economic terms, in social terms, in political terms. What the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim and the Chag of Pesach commemorates and celebrates is Geula Mitzrayim, the culmination of which perhaps is on Chag HaShavuos, Matan Torah Seinu. And the Rav, I remember, mentioned that the Rambam Shita Mor Nevuchim is that Tzdafka Chag HaSukkos that's related to Eretz Yisrael. I mean, the Talmidim and the Sukkah and so forth, everything relates to Eretz Yisrael, but the other two regalim refer to Geula, to creating a new nation, existential freedom, and what clinched the nationhood of Israel. And the answer is the Mamleches Kohanim v'Goy Kadosh, not Eretz Yisrael. And that nation, he said, could exist even in the Midbar. And he goes back to the Parsha of the Sneh in Shmos Perek Gimel, when Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the question, Vayomer Moshe Elokim, mi anochi ki elech el paro v'chi otzi es b'nei Yisrael mimitzrayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response to Moshe, Vayomer ki eye imach v'zelech la'os ha'os ki anochi shlachticha bo'tzi achas ha'am mimitzrayim ta'avdunes Elokim al ahar hazeh. What is the meaning of this response of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu? After all, Moshe wanted to know why he's being chosen. And the answer is, Tavdunas Elokim al ahar hazeh. What Hashem is saying is that I'll be with you. And the sign is, for the Shlichus, that you are the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, that you will take the people out of Mitzrayim, is that after they leave Mitzrayim, they shall serve Hashem on this particular mountain, meaning Har Chorev. That's where they'll receive the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, don't think that the purpose of Geulas Mitzrayim is to create a political entity, a nation of social and political independence. If that was so, I would need to appoint a political leader, a king, not an Oral Svasayim. I would need a great diplomat, an administrator, somebody who could create and solidify a political nation. But you were chosen, Moshe Rabbeinu, not to fulfill that role, but rather the purpose of Yetzias Mitzrayim is to create a Goy Kadosh, a Torah nation. And a Torah nation needs a Rebbe. You are Moshe Rabbeinu. You are the teacher par excellence. You are the guide. You are the mentor. You will teach the people of Israel. There's no one alive who could be a better candidate than you. You will fill the role of being the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, Yetzias Mitzrayim, bringing them up to Matan Torah. You will be the individual, the Rabbeinu, the guide, as we said, who will transform this nation of slaves into a Mamleches Kohanim and a Goy Kadosh. So if we come back to our original question, how do we define the essence of Klal Yisrael? How did we live as a people throughout 2,000 years of Golos? And the answer is because the Veivesi is not integral, it's not a precondition in generating and creating this new independent nation, the essence of which is a Goy Kadosh. The Cheres Olam of Ezu Ben Chorin Zeshosek B'Torah. The nation is defined by its spiritual Yud, the Torah itself. And that sets up a nation even for 2,000 years in Golos. And here, I'd like to refer to a pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chaf, pasuk Chaf Dalet. Ani Hashem asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim. Ani Hashem alkeichem asher hivdalti eschem min ha'amim. I'd like to emphasize two words which belong together, obviously, in this pasuk, hivdalti and amim. There are many nations, but Hashem says hivdalti. And this pasuk appears in Kedoshim, in the parish of Kedusha. And it's fascinating that when we make the bracha asher kidshanu b'mitzvosa v'tzivanu, the Mefarshim explain that a birchas ha-mitzvah reflects the special unique essence of the Jewish people, the Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael is measured by and reflected by the mitzvos. The Baal HaTurim on this pasuk, Asher Hivdalti Eschem Min Ha'amim, writes Shivim Mitzvahs B'Parshas Kedoshim Kineged Shivim Umos Shevdalti Eschem Ehem. Every mitzvah, says the Baal HaTurim, separates us from the Goyim who don't have that mitzvah. And if there's a mitzvah that's common to both the Jewish nation and the other nations, then it's not Asher Kidshanu B'Mitzvot, so that mitzvah will not reflect the Havdalah, the separate, unique nature of the Jewish people as an essentially different nation. Because it's common, it's universal to all man. I remember the Aruch HaShulchan as a Chiddush, he wants to say, why is there no bracha on Kibbut Avim? He claims that mitzvah applies universally to every nation, to every culture, to every people on the face of the earth. They all have Kibbut Av in one, Kibbut Avim in one form or another. Okay, I'm not going to go into that now. We've discussed it in the past in our discussions about Kibbut Avim. But the point he's trying to convey is a very true one, that a mitzvah generates Kedusha. And that's the unique Kedusha of Klal Yisrael that defines us as a separate nation. We've spoken in the past about certain midos that set aside our people, whether it's the mid of Tznius, our level of Gemilus Chasonim, Rachmanim, Baishonim, and so forth. But today we're discussing mitzvos. And it's the mitzvos that set us up as an Am Kadosh, as a Meleches Kohanim Goy Kadosh, and separate us from the nations of the world. It's interesting that the Rambam in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the third chapter, which is dedicated to Keser HaTorah, he speaks about the Shlosha Ksarim Shenichtu Behen Yisrael. And I believe that the Rambam went out of his way to add the word Yisrael to emphasize that those three Ksarim together integrate to form one entity, which is called Kedushas Yisrael. Shenichtu Behen Yisrael, whether it's the Kedushas Kahuna, whether it's the Kedushas Malchus, the Kedushas HaTorah, each one reflects a different dimension of Kedusha, of sanctity. But when we speak about the three Ksarim, we're speaking about Havdalah. We're speaking about how Hashem separated this nation, this people, from all the other nations because of their Kedusha, because of their mitzvos. And therefore, we always mention in Havdalah Kiddushas Yisrael. The Gemara in Psachim, in the last perek, the Gemara speaks about Seder Avdolos Heich Omer. How should we recite Avdolos? And we mention all the Avdolos. Bein Kodesh L'chol, Bein Or L'choshev, Bein Yisrael L'amim, Bein Yom HaShvili Sheishtim HaMasa. All these different Avdolos. And then the Chasima is Baruch Atah Hashem Kadesh Yisrael. All these Havdolos indicate Kedushas Yisrael. Kedushas Yisrael is part and parcel of Havdolah. When we recite Havdolah, we're thanking Hashem for Kedushas Yisrael. Every single facet of Havdolah that's mentioned, incorporated into the body of Havdolah, is another dimension of what's unique about our people as opposed and conscious to the other nations. We have Kodesh and Chol. We have the mitzvahs of Shabbos, the mitzvahs of Yontif, of Shemitah, of Yovel, of Tainios. These are uniquely Jewish mitzvahs. And they represent Havdolah. Because Kedushas Hazman and Havdolah are one and the same. They both reflect the unique Kedusha of Klal Yisrael. So what is Kedushas Yisrael? It's Hamavdil Bein Yisrael Amin. It separates the Jewish people from the nations of the world. And I have here a page from Parshas Kedoshim from Rav Noach Albaum. Apparently a shir he gave a number of years ago. I did not hear the shir, I wasn't Zoche. And he quotes some of the contemporary Bali Musar. I'm not familiar with all of them. One of whom is Rabbi Yerucham, the Mashkiach of the Mir. He was the mentor of Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz that I love to learn and quote, the Rashi of the Mir. And Rabbi Yerucham gave a drasha during the Aseres Yimei Tshuva. And he says the following, Rotzim anu legalos bekan sod ve'ikar gadol. He wants to set forth a very important breakthrough. And he calls it one of those things that somehow got lost and people are not aware of. Even more mature people, Jews who lived into the 70s and 80s. He says when we look historically at a perspective of the Jewish people and a perspective of the Torah itself, what ikar, what principle seems to be recurrent, seems to be so fundamental when Moshe Rabbeinu warns us and tells us to be very careful about it. Says Rabbi Yerucham from the Mir that the Iker Azhara Hoysa Shalo Yisarvu Bagoyim, Moshe Rabbeinu constantly tells the Jewish people, admonishes them and warns them, stay away from the nations, don't learn from their masim. We have to develop our own unique Kedusha culture. And Rabbi Yerucham claims that if you have to pinpoint the most fundamental problem of our generation, namely assimilation, you will see that what happens is that the culture of the nations somehow penetrates into the Jewish culture. So it's not the passions and the Yetzer Hara from within us, that's not the main problem, that's a mistake. But rather it's that which comes mibachutz. It's those foreign influences that penetrate in. And when we look at the situation of Klal Yisrael, we see to what extent the Jewish people as a whole are influenced, are sucked up by the culture around them. And so many things have entered into our culture that we wonder if we have a genuinely Jewish culture. Again, I'm not talking about the Bnei Torah and the Bnei Yeshivos that dedicate themselves day and night, they and their families, their children, to Torah study. But we look at Amcha, at the people of Israel as a whole. He says we find so many movements of youth in which they are just simply mimicking and echoing the culture of the world around us. And they're so into music of different sorts, we won't go into it, and into sports and the politics. and even the way they dress is influenced. Some of the superstitious customs of the nations of the world have somehow penetrated into us, things that come from Christianity, and we don't even realize it. People don't even pay attention to it. To avoid the number 13, to knock on wood, rabbit's feet, horseshoes, who knows what, in a thousand and one ways, in our dress codes, in our haircuts, in our styles, in the entertainment that we enjoy. And today, of course, I'm sure Rabbi Yeruchim would add the internet that's become such a central issue with all its temptations. Now the internet allows everything to come into the Jewish people from the outside. He says, when we look at history, what we see is etzlam, amongst the goyim, he says, kimat shelo nishtana el hatzura. What we see is there's no essential change amongst the goyim. The culture and the values are pretty much the same as they always were. What changes are the expressions of that culture. He says, for example, in ancient times, if you go back, for example, to Rome, they had different kinds of itztadyonim, mischake ashvarim. They had the amphitheaters and the gladiators. He says today they have different sports. Also crazy sports that they have. It's amazing. I mean, there are some sports which are absolutely dangerous, and you could even predict from the get-go that at least one person, if not who knows how many people, will die. And there's one country in which the bull goes free, amok, among the people. People will die. And car racing and boxing and all sorts of things. It's not really that radically different than what it once was. Have the values really changed in most of the world? But in the case of Klal Yisrael, he says, there seems to be some radical changes. It's not the same as it used to be. The ancient Jew, even if you turn back only 100 years ago, if you speak to people like my father, Avishalom, who would reminisce about their childhood and the values and the lifestyle, it was so different, a whole different world. Those of us who had the merit to go back to Europe and see what it was like before World War II in the shtetls in Poland, and get a little schmeck, a little perspective on what it was like, the Jewish nation, and the way people dressed, and different, there were chassidim, and there were litvaks, and I'll never forget, we went to a town, when we were on heritage back in Poland, we went to a shtetl called Baich, and the son of the Rav of Baich, Rabbi Halperin, who's a neighbor of mine here in Har Nof, he accompanied our trip. And I remember we were walking down, the Baich hasn't changed, you know, in 70 years. We were walking down the main drag of Baich in Poland. That's just a few years ago. And Rabbi Halperin starts describing his father, Oliver Shalom, the Rav of Baich, walking along the same path, the same dirt road that we were walking on. Okay, it's a little bit paved, but not much. On Erev Yom Kippur, on Leil Yom Kippur, on his way to Kol Nidre. And he's reciting Vidu. And it's Talis Ibrin Kup. And the entire town of Baich is walking behind him, and everyone is crying. Who could even imagine such a thing in our day? Lo mi bay in Chutz La'aretz, even in Eretz Yisrael. Such an outpour of genuine tefillah, prayer, and vidui, and closeness and intimacy to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But all that, unfortunately, is lost. Vayis'arvu ba'goyim vayilmedu mima'aseyem. The Mashgiach cries out with a krecht, how is it that we've changed and we have so adopted and imitated the peoples of the world? The problem is not just the way we look on the outside. It's not just the fact that everything in Chitzonius imitates the Goyim. But it's more than that. He says, unfortunately, the tragedy is when we look at our attitudes towards life, our system of values and priorities, to what extent have the hashkafot and the Weltanschauung, the outlooks of the world at large, penetrated and impacted on our world? He says, "B'chai atzmi, b'chai besi, chai mishpachti, kol mataraseinu v'ashkofoseinu rachmona litzlanu v'ashkofas ha'umos." Our system of values, who do we look up to? Well, it doesn't always have to be sports figures or actors in television. It could even be in terms of the rich people that we admire and that we hear about constantly, read about them, economic success, climbing the social ladder, all that alluring, the neon lights of who society holds up on high. All this has penetrated into our life, into our worldview. And one of the other mashgichim of the contemporary times, Rav Friedlander in his Sifsei Chaim, refers us to the Beis HaLevi. And this Beis HaLevi in Parsha Shmos, I think, will answer the question of how is it that the Jew, despite his attempt throughout history, unfortunately, to assimilate, to imitate the Goyim, never succeeded in protecting himself from the hatred of the anti-Semites, Yimach Shemo. And the Beis HaLevi quotes the Medrash that says that Bnei Yisrael Mitzrayim Eferu Bris Mila, and he says that this happened early in the history of Golus Mitzrayim, Li'achar Misas Yosef, immediately following Joseph's death, Bnei Yisrael Eschiu Lifchod V'Lid'og Al Atidam. Now a certain fear overwhelmed the Jewish people. Mi Arev L'kach, who could give them any sort of security? Sha'am Mitzrim Yamshichu Lehovotam. There was a certain positive love between Mitzrayim and Bnei Yaakov at the time of Yosef, when his leadership was adored, when there was a sense of gratitude, when there was a paro who looked up to Yosef. But now Yosef is gone and the flock of Israel is overwhelmed with fear. V'choshvu darchom v'tachbulos echlis karivel amitzrim. They began to investigate how could they be similar to the Mitzrayim. Kidei shelo lios muvdolim mehem, shelo yu nikarim kigerim, that they shouldn't look like a fifth column, like aliens, like greeters. V'lachein achra mila, it's not chashom that they didn't perform mila, says the Beis HaLevi, but following the surgery of mila, mashku bar losom, they somehow were able to do something to their bodies, laharos satsum ki ulo nimolu. It would make it look like they didn't go through mila. Mila was always that demarcation mark of Havdalah, dating back to the time of Avraham Avinu, when he was given the mila, uvagoyim lo yischashav, to separate the Jewish people. Now the Jews in Mitzrayim are trying to cosmetically cover up their mila, kidei shelo yu nikarim ki yehudim, so they shouldn't look like Jews. But paradoxically, despite all their efforts, al yidei ha'iskarus, dafka, because they got closer to the goyim, instead of what they thought in their logical plan, that there would be a cure of halavavos, there would be a mute sinner, the exact opposite happened. And the pasuk in Tehillim, this is the key pasuk for today, in Perek Kuf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Hei says, Hafach Libam Lisno Amo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps into the picture. And he changes everything. Instead of Ava that the Mitzrayim had towards the Jewish people, the Ava was transformed, Rachmana Litzlan, into Sina. It became hatred. And according to the Beis HaLevi, when Yaakov Ubanov came down to Mitzrayim and the famine terminated, the Mitzrayim, of course, looked up to the Jewish people and acknowledged a debt of gratitude, and there was an ava between them and the Jewish people. But now, when for rational reasons they adopted a plan to be similar, to assimilate, not to look different than the Mitzrim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steps in to prevent this situation, and it's a Hofach Libam situation. It's an unnatural transformation from Ava to Sinah. You would have thought that the more similar the Jews would be to the Goyim, to the Mitzrim, the more intense the Ava would be, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'nafoch Hu converted the Ava to Sinah. And this, says the Beis Halevi, was done in the divine plan for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. Al yidei kach yimona miyiskarvus al mitzrim. God wanted to stop the Jewish people, send them a clear message. This is not the way, lozu aderech. Don't try to be miskariv. Don't try to imitate the goyim. That's not going to achieve your goal. On the contrary, be separate. Havdolah, kedusha, as we discussed. And the Beis Halevi adds that this hanhaga we see in every generation. And he describes what goes on in his generations, not in Poland and Litva, but rather in Hungary and in Romania. At that time, the Beis Halevi said what he saw was that the hatred of the Jew was becoming more and more intense. And he didn't understand it because Dafka, in those countries, the Jews were assimilating. Why is it that the hatred became more intense? Naturally, within the framework of causality, it made no sense. Their Hezbollahs should lead to more kirva, more ava. And the Beis Halevi says, no, it's the Chasdei Hashem. This is the compassion of Almighty God. God steps in because He wants to prevent the situation of continued iskarvus, of more and more assimilation. And therefore, He, with a capital H, intensifies the sinner against the Jewish people. And we, of course, have seen this in the past generation, not so long ago, in Germany, during Das Kult, during a period in which wisdom, culture, amongst the Germans, was on the highest level. Berlin was the center of it all. And from there, the hatred, the terrible hatred against the Jew, spreads like wildfire throughout the entire world. And this gzera against the Jewish people begins in Berlin, where the Hezbollahs, where the assimilation and the richuk miyadus, the move to distance oneself as a Jew from Judaism in any form, any external show of being Jew, where the Jews try as much as they can to be up there in the culture of the Goyim, and yet, who reminds the Jew that they're Jewish? It's Dafka the Goyim. The Goyim become now the tool of Almighty God to remind the Jews of their Jewishness. And all this is part of the anhaga, the unbelievably wonderful divine providence of Almighty God to prevent His karvus, to prevent His spolus amongst the goyim. So what about America today? You're right. That is an excellent question. Why is it that in America today, what we're finding is that the Jews are assimilating to a large extent, and yet we're not seeing waves of hatred, although the what goes on below the surface, or perhaps over the internet and the hate mail and the blogs, it may not be right there up front on the headlines of the newspapers, but there is an intensity of anti-Semitism. I'm not coming here to be a prophet of doom. I remember somebody forwarded me a piece about Columbus. There's some historians who have, over the years, but it became a little bit more intense recently, one guy wrote that there's new proof to the effect that Columbus was Jewish. I mean, frankly speaking, I couldn't care less. It really doesn't in any way enhance my love for the United States of America. But what was fascinating was that, or frightening, I should say, not fascinating, was that in the aftermath of this of this email, of this presentation on the internet that was circulating, they published together with his piece, which is very well written, a series of blogs, and I've never seen such anti-Semitism. People who are saying outright that the Jews are this, the Jews are that, now they're claiming Columbus is theirs, and how mistaken and how ashamed it is that Hitler didn't finish the job. I mean, terrible things that are going on, even in the West, in this so-called Medina Shel Chesed. So I'm not sure. I hope that the pattern described in the Beis Halevi, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu activates the principle of Hafach Libam Lisno Amo, we will not witness it in America, but we cannot be absolutely secure. And one thing is clear, that our mitzvah, our obligation is Ava, is Havdalah, is Kedusha, is B'shlosh Ksarim Nichdu Behem Yisrael. What we have to focus on is our own unique Jewish essence, namely Kedusha, the sanctity of the Jew, the Midos Tovos. That's what defines our people as a people. I remember the Rav Zichron Avraham once discussed a pasuk at the beginning of Sefer Shmos, which is a repeat performance of Vayigash in Sefer Bereishis, where the Torah describes and counts, enumerates the people of Israel who came down to Mitzrayim, and it says, Asher Bo Mitzrayimah, the Rav quoted the Medrash, Ki'ilu Asher Bo. And one of the various interpretations that the Rav suggested to explain, according to the Medrash, why Asher Bo, using the present tense to describe events that had taken place probably a century earlier when the Jews came down to Mitzrayim, Ki'ilu Asher Bo is a bracha. That the Mitzrim saw the Jews even a century after they had arrived and settled in Mitzrayim as Kilu Achshav Bo. You know, a Jew can be in a country for years, for hundreds of years, and it's Kilu Achshav Bo. The Jews in the period of the golden age of Spain were at the forefront of commerce, of finance, even of politics during the golden age of Spain. But what happened in 1492, Girush Sfarad, it's Kilu Achshav Bo. The Jews never, ever really became Spaniards. And maybe this is a bracha in disguise, says the Rav. That as much as we try to be miskarev, and we try to come close and imitate the goyim don't let us do so. They remind us of our Jewishness. That's the bracha of Hashem. That's an active miracle, a divine intervention in history. And Reb Shimshon Fol Hirsch quotes the pasuk Hayom Hazeh Nieso La'am. The pasuk in Dvarim, in Perek Chav Zayin, pasuk Tes, Vaydaber Moshe Vakonim Valvi'im El Kol Yisrael Lemar Haskeis Ushma Yisrael Hayom Hazeh Nieso La'am. And Rashi interprets Niesa La'am, referring to the mitzvos, and referring to the bris, B'chol yom yu be'inecha kilu hayom basa imo bebris. The pasuk of Niesa La'am represents the bris of Shmirat HaMitzvot, that Klal Yisrael entered to commit themselves in the covenantal relationship, says Rav Hirsch, Hayom hazeh bo kibalta olecha b'shvua l'kayem es haTorah niyesola. It's crystal clear that Rav Hirsch sees the absolute connection, almost the identity, between kiyum haTorah and niyesolam in this pasuk in Parshas Ki Tov. And he says again, this is a translation from the German into Hebrew, Halu Umiyus HaYisraelis, the nationhood of Israel einena matchila mishash Yisrael zochim la'aretz mishalahem. He says, what initiates, what engenders the nation of Israel is not the moment they enter into Eretz Yisrael and have their own homeland. El dafka mishash hei mekablim aleim ol Torah. Afilu bi odom shruim bamidbar lilo eretz.
L'lo kol emtzei kiyum tiviyim hadrushim la'am. Zehu yichuda shel ha'lu'umiyus ha'yisraelis. Rav Hirsch is very dramatic, pointing out that it's the moment that they accept old Torah, the moment of the bris, that is what generates the nationhood of Israel. The Mamleches Kohanim V'Goy Kadosh that's dedicated to Torah and mitzvahs, Asher Kidshonu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu, even though they find themselves in the wilderness, they have no land of their own, no homeland. On a natural level, there's no finance, there's no financial structure, no basis in nature for life. There's no business, there's nothing growing in the wilderness. They're living on miracles, but nevertheless, they are a nation. They have emerged as a people. And that's what's unique, he says, Rav Hirsch, about the Jewish people. I remember the Rav Zichron Levracha once asked the question, Oz Yashir Moshe Vnei Yisrael, why is it that the people of Israel recited Shira a week later? They had left Mitzrayim a week earlier. Wasn't there a Chiyuv Shira at the time of the Yetziah? And he explained that the opening verse, the introduction rather, to the Oz Yashir, is Vayar Yisrael Sayyad HaChazok, they saw the Yad. He explains that Etzba, a finger, is the word that appears over and over again throughout the period of Yitzias Mitzrayim during the Eser Makos, culminating in that night, Leil Tesvav, when the people became a free nation. But that wasn't the moment to recite Shira. And why is that? Because it was only etzba. It was only partial. The vision of Yetzias Mitzrayim as it culminates on Tesvav is of a people, a slave nation, who juridically, legally, are no longer slaves to Paro. Paro says, according to the Medrash, on that night of Makas Bechoros, Harei atem bnei chorin, Harei atem mishukhrarin. It was an act of shirchur ha'evid. They became politically free. But that's not what generates Shira. But rather what generates Shira is the Oz Yashir of Zekeli V'anveu, of a people of the nation, a nation of God, of Ros HaShivcha L'Yam, of Gili Shechina, of that close relationship that's going to terminate reach its fruition 7 weeks later, at the time of Matan Torah, with the Gili Shechina of Matan Torah, that creates the nation of Israel. And so once again, we emphasize the Pasuk V'avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim. Lios Li, the Pasuk says. Why is Lios Li so important in this Pasuk of Avdil Eschem Min Ha'amim? Because Li means that we are the people of Hashem. We are knuyim to Hashem. And therefore, separating us from the Amim as a new Am, as a new nation that emerges, a Havdolah mikol Amim, is because Li, that's represented in the Lashon of Gula Lakachti Eschem Li La'am. And it's the Li La'am that makes us a unique people. And I'd like to end the Shia by quoting the Sifsei Chaim, Rav Friedlander, who writes the following. He says, Anachnu modim l'Hashem Yisbarach in Olenu, we say, Shalo asanu kegoye ha'arotos. This is one of the most profound moments of praise that we recite at the culmination of every tefillah. Shalo asanu kegoyei ha'aratzos. What's the emphasis on goyei ha'aratzos? Eretz means a land. He says, Eluhem amim shonim l'chol am yesh eretz mishalo. Every nation has its own land, its own geographic location that it calls its own. V'kashur ima b'kesher nafshi amok. Shabbat halui kiyumo ka'am. Every nation and its nationhood is contingent, is dependent upon its connection to a specific land. That's a deep connection. And throughout history, we see that when a nation was exiled from its land, it basically disappears, it withers away with the tens of years that pass by. And why? Because the metzias of a nation is connected to its homeland. And on a deeper level, says the Sif Sei Chaim, the reason for this is because every land has its own tchunot, its own nature, its own features and characteristics, amyuchadot la, v'yesh la mazal mishala, sar malach manig oso. There's a manig, some sort of a spiritual delegate of Almighty God who oversees, who supervises that land. V'chol am, and the people of the land mut'am, they're appropriate, they somehow correspond, la'aretz shu chayba, to the land and its, shall we say, the climate that's precipitated by that land. But we're not talking about the physical climate, we're not talking meteorological terms, l'malach ha-manigosa, but to its existential nature. V'zehu shoresh ha-yenika ha-ruchani shel oso am v'sod kiyumo. And therefore he says, kasher am gola me'artzo, is bekach menatkim oso mishorsho. A people that are exiled are completely cut off, they're detached from their source. But we say to Almighty God, we praise Almighty God at the end of every tefillah, that's goyei haratzos, but lo asanu kegoyei haratzos. We are muvdolim. We are not existentially connected and dependent upon the land. Anu am bnei Yisrael einam kegoyei haratzos. Ki his havus ha uma vekiuma enam kshurim baaretz. Afal pisha Eretz Yisrael shayeches lam Yisrael. There are so many mitzvahs that depend upon Eretz Yisrael. And certainly, he says, Eretz Yisrael for us represents avodas Hashem bishleimut, a perfection that we cannot achieve in chutz laaretz, not just in terms of the mitzvah tluyus ba, but in the very special sanctity of the land. He says, "Hashleimut shezochim la be'eretz Yisrael, bilti nitenet la'asaga b'chutz la'aretz, cannot be achieved in chutz la'aretz." But on the other side, on the flip side, there was an Am Yisrael that was generated in the Midbar at the time of Kabbalah Satorah, when we became the Am Skula, the Mamlechus Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. Later on, we entered into Eretz Yisrael, but we became a nation before we entered into the land. Kiyum shel Am Yisrael, there is an independent existence to Am Yisrael as a nation. Kasher margishim otanu meretz Yisrael. If we look at the 2,000 years plus of Golos, we were exiled from our land, anu nish'arim b'chutz laretz Am Hashem. We still maintain our identity to the extent to which we cling to Hashem. Asher hivdil eschem and amim lios li. Li, it's the li. That's the key to our existence, our survival. Anu kayomim ka'am Yisrael alpayim shana, he wrote this at that time, ibli lios peretz Yisrael. The Jewish people continue to maintain their identity in chutz laretz. It's impossible for the other nations to achieve such a thing. They lose, they forfeit the very essence, the ichudam ka'am. Like a vegetation that is cut off from its yanika, its source of nourishment in the ground. And therefore, shlo asanu kegoyei haratzos. We are not like the nations of the world whose existence depends upon their eretz. We can exist in Golos as we did for 2,000 years. And perhaps, says Rav Albaum, to add to the Sifsei Chaim, that's the message of Aleinu, according to the tradition that Yoshua authored Aleinu. At the time of Hancholas Eretz Yisrael, Yoshua wants to declare
They don't think that now we became a people. This is the clincher, this is the fruition. But we gained nationhood even before, back in the Midbar, at the time of Matan Torah. They would be zocher to accept the Torah every day as new.